You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hello, hello. Welcome to HR Bandit. This is your host, Apoorva. If this is your first time here, a big welcome from Ankita and me. If this is you returning, we are so glad to have you back here for what we can only call our best mix yet. So, Ankita, what's on our list for today?
Hello, hello. You've replaced the hey with a very new term, but I'll flow with it. Apoorva, February has been crazy. It's been a challenge to pick just three topics with so much happening, but we did it. So first up, Australia joins the long list of countries embracing the law on the right to disconnect. But what does this law actually mean? For our second story, we cover the results of the biggest four-day workweek experiment on this very pod exactly a year ago. Now, 12 months later, let's take a look again to see if anything has changed. And for our last and final topic, money. It's pay season and early reports predicting annual increments are now out. Which sectors are slated for the best increases and where in the world? So stay tuned to find out.
Well, that's quite the mix. But before we jump into it, what's on your wish list for this pay season, Ankita?
You're a very, very evil woman. So on my wish list for pay season is an increment that's probably the average of the India pay increase. But because I'm not in India, I know that's not going to happen. And bandits, if you're curious, you can stay tuned till our episode endish. You'll get to see what the average increments I can expect. But Apoorva, March also happens to be my birth month. So I am creating a different kind of wish list. I have a birthday wish list. So let's see how much of that actually comes true.
Interesting. And we will probably talk about it in our next episode.
We will.
All right. So with that, let's jump into our first topic of the day.
Okay. So this is probably my favorite bit of our three topics. So this February, Australia joined a growing list of countries adopting the right to disconnect post-working hours and on holidays. Now, this isn't new. France was the first country to launch a right to disconnect law 7 years ago in 2017 for any company over 50 employees. Since then, Italy, Belgium, Spain, and Ireland have followed suit. Portugal joined in late 2021 and Kenya in 2023. Now, the specifics of these laws differ from country to country. In Belgium, the right has been afforded to government workers, while the Portuguese rules apply to companies for more than 10 employees, and violators are penalized with fine. Under the Kenyan proposal, workers get paid extra if they respond to employers outside work hours, and employees are protected from retribution if they choose to ignore such contact. Now, in Canada, in certain provinces like Ontario, they already have such a policy, and this is not new for Australia either. So Australia's Queensland state in 2022 December granted similar digital disconnection rights to teachers. Now, in Feb, Australia said that the employees would have the right to refuse to monitor, read, or respond to contact or attempted contact from an employer outside of the employee's working hours unless the refusal is unreasonable. Now, I'm aware that while we have a whole bandwagon of countries jumping onto this law, there are countries such as United States and India where this debate has not found widespread traction. At the New York City Council, a bill that would make it unlawful for private employers to require employees to check and respond to emails during non-working hours did not pass in 2018. So Apoorva, I've given a whole bunch of data. What do you think of the law?
I mean, if I take a step back and look at how these laws are defined across countries, there really are two different flavors to the right to disconnect laws. Looking at how they're defined in France, Spain, Belgium, and Italy, the law there gives freedom to employees to be not held responsible or to not face any negative consequences if they don't respond to their employers outside of the working hours. But it doesn't put any onus on the employers to not contact them in the first place. And if you really look at it, there is this innate inequality between the employer and the employee. And in an unequal relationship such as that, it's not enough to just establish that an employee has the right to disconnect, to switch off their mobile phone, laptop, or whatever that arrives in the middle of dinner with their family. Any abuse that conflicts with that right must also be deterred through sanctions. And if you look at how Portugal defines the law, that's where they got it right, in my view. They do place the employers responsible, hold them accountable, and place sanctions if they contact or violate the right to disconnect in the first place. Now, coming to the proposed bill in Australia, what I like is that it also provides for penalties that could include jail time for companies that refuse to comply. So while it's still a bill, I'm really excited to see this becoming a law where that fine print of holding employers accountable also finds its place.
That is a power move. I think I haven't seen any other country specify jail time. I was actually going through cases to see how, if any employee has actually taken their employer to court, because my first reaction was, it's a new bill, and unless there have been many cases in the court, maybe no organization will take it seriously. And very few cases have gone to court. But when they have, the employee has come away with a very handsome cash amount, but no employer has been sent to jail. So I'm actually kicking myself to say that, why did I think of it? Like, the law should actually penalize the employer and place the onus on them to say, it's not the right to disconnect. You don't have the right to message employees post contractual working hours. So I think I'm going to stay tuned to see just how many cases are going to court. But not only that, how many employers have actually codified this in some kind of policy?
Yeah, and I mean, the optimist in me feels that with more and more companies adopting laws regarding right to disconnect will eventually lead to countries like US and India that are seemingly known for not so employee-friendly legislation to follow suit. But then the pessimist in me also wonders if this adds another dimension that showcases how difficult it is to set up and maintain businesses or an offshore team in countries like Australia and others who have these laws. So while I hope for the best.
Yeah, I do think that we will have to become increasingly global, even in countries that have what the US and India might think difficult to work environments or establish business. So I really want laws like these to become widespread. But yes, you're right. Ultimately, it is the US, I think, that will tip the scale.
Yes. With that, now let me move on to our second topic, which really has me smiling in the background. So in our prediction spot, Ankita, you called this out as not a trend, but here we are a month later talking about it. The 1 year anniversary of the biggest 4-day experiment in the world is grabbing some media attention yet again. As a quick reminder for our listeners, for 6 months between June and December 2022, workers at 61 companies in the United Kingdom worked 80% of the usual hours for the same pay in exchange for promising to deliver 100% of their usual work as a research in partnership with Cambridge and Oxford universities and Boston College. The trial was a huge success, and a year later, 89% of the companies are doing it for yet another year, and 51% are making it permanent. Now, with that summary, Ankita, are you changing your mind about your prediction?
Absolutely not. Now, I know we've said a lot of companies are extending it. And in fact, revenue numbers show that a 4-day work week is actually good. Like, a 35% jump in revenue would attract any organization. So yes, the results are great. And there are other trials around the world that are happening. But I strongly believe that this is one of the things where nobody wants to go first, right? So I'm willing to take a bet that none of the big tech companies will go or move to a 4-day work week in 2024. So I said not a trend in our predictions pod, and I still think not happening.
So, you know, interestingly, there's this website, 4dayweek.io, and we will share the website link in our show notes, where you can track companies by country to see who's offering 4 days per week and at what terms, whether it's 4 days for 8 hours at full pay or at reduced pay, or 4 days for 10 hours at full pay. And when I looked at the companies that were listed there, it wasn't surprising that there were no big names in that entire list. And with companies so focused on efficiency and cost reduction in 2023 and now even in 2024, I think, like you said, there's going to be a lot of inertia in big corporations to take this up. But I'm still cautiously optimistic about this trend. And reason being that you consider any report that comes out regarding 4 day work week trial, the UK trial that I just mentioned, as well as there was another set of trials that was done back in 22 in companies across US, Ireland and Australia covering 900 plus employees. Then there was the Microsoft trial in Japan back in 2019. All these reports have consistently found that it improves employee engagement, it leads to better productivity and well-being without impacting, and in most cases, even improving business metrics. So while it may invite resistance from big companies, I think it can be a really strong lever for startups and smaller companies to acquire great talent.
I agree. I was actually writing the draft of a blog post on, you know, how to write a job description no one can say no to. And honestly, if a startup or a smaller organization says we have a 4 day work week, that is a very, very appealing job description. But with that, I'm going to move to our last and final topic of the day, and probably one that everyone's waiting to know more about. It is pay hike season, isn't it? And we're naturally curious about not only where in the world are the best increases, but which roles have it going for them. As I said earlier, unfortunately, Ireland is not one of those countries. In Ireland, average increases are slated to be half of the inflation that's currently hovering around 4% mark. So, Apoorva, if I get more than 2% of an increase, I know I'm above average, but it's nowhere close to the 10% average that the manufacturing in India is slated to get. But before that, I've also heard US is not very different because the pay increases are expected to be below the rate of inflation. The picture in India is really good. The inflation is hovering currently at around 6%. And if early reports are anything to go by, the average percentage of increases are over 9.5%, with manufacturing and life sciences sector likely to pay out the highest average increments of 10%. And this is according to the Deloitte Increments Trend Survey.
So I'm going to go into a bit more detail about how different countries are seeing their budgets unfold for 2024. According to a report by Willis Towers Watson, the global average planned increases are to the tune of 5%, which is 0.3 percentage point below the actual of 2023. But it is in line with the 5% average increase granted in 2022, which is super interesting because 2022 was also the year where a bunch of big tech companies really increased their budgets by coming up with new pay ranges in many geographies, including the US. Now, for 2024, in addition to India, Mexico at 6.4%, Brazil at 5.9%, and China at 5.4% are geographies where increases are going to be above the global average of 5%. Talking about specific countries in Europe, in most countries, the salary increases are down from 2023 actuals, with UK at 4.6%, Germany at 4.3%, Spain at 4.4%, and France at 4%. US is on an average planning an increase of 4%, and this number is down from 4.4% in 2023. So you do see a flavor of how most of the growing economies have salary increases that are above the global average, whereas economies like US and Europe are the ones that are faring below the global average.
That is a really interesting trend, and it really shows you which way the world is heading. And maybe India is the best place to hold a job at the moment. And then one of the things I know you'd mentioned in our discussions earlier is that historical data can, well, you said biggest predictors of future salary budgets is in fact prior increases. Yes. So I am looking at percentage changes, and it does look like we are hovering very close to what we were in the past. So if that's true, then India will likely continue to be a great place to work and hold a job. And maybe I need to reconsider my life in Europe. So we are moving on. But before we go, there are three other stories you need to know today. I said February was a very full month. So here are the three. First, February has been difficult for the tech sector, which continues to see job losses at many high-profile companies such as Sony, Bumble, Expedia, and Snap. Second, IKEA now has its own malls and is launching co-working spaces. So WeWork has more competition than it would have liked. And I'm really interested in walking into one, and I think they're calling it Hey. So let's see how that works out for IKEA. And lastly, and probably the most important news, is that Apurva and I got to meet in person in California after what feels like forever. So if that isn't the best way to end our pod, I don't know what is.
You took me by surprise there, Ankita. I didn't realize you were going to mention that. But Bandits, if you want to see a photograph of your host together, head over to our LinkedIn and Twitter while you are there. And do not forget to let us know which story was your favorite from today's episode and what you would like to see in the future. We do have a few surprises in store, and we're really excited about what
we're going to
bring.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm really scared you'll give some of it away. So that's it from us today, Bandits. It was quick, snappy. You know what you needed to know about what happened in Feb. And on that note, I'm going to get us out of here. On behalf of NHRDN and Apurva, this is Ankita, and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.